Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I mean, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you, Lord. The word has said, man shall not live by bread alone, but rather by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Lord, we pray, God, that it will please you. I have no doubt that in different places across the globe this morning, your word will be preached, and it will make no difference. But your anointing makes the difference. What we need for the week. Father, you know what is on this piece of paper that I had prepared? Father, I have no doubt it's useless to your people. I have no doubt it is, Father. But when you breathe, if it pleases you, Lord, to come in your power and your presence, to give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus, that will make a difference, Father. Father, you move when it pleases you. You do things that please you. Father, it's with extremely humble hearts that we ask, God, that you open your word to us. Amen. Let it encourage our hearts, Father. I pray we will have your mind. Help us see exactly what you need us to see. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It's been a while. I've been on marriage sabbatical. It's nice to be back. I'd like to say hello to everybody. And I'm going to start with... You know, I told you that I went to City of David in Lagos, right? I think I came back and I told the story last October. And I had a service that was about 3 hours long. And we couldn't even wait for the preaching. And since that day, I promised I was never going to preach for more than 30 minutes. Because, you know, as I sat there, I was with Biola, and I sat there that day, I was saying, this must be what people go through when I'm preaching for an hour. I couldn't wait to get up. So by the grace of God, it's going to be short. I'll start with a quote. We often quote A.W. Tozer. I will again. He was an anointed man of God. He says something that governs my heart each time I have the privilege to stand and to speak about Christ. He said, the coming of the Lord is drawing near. I try to do all my preaching with this in mind. Karen, that man... He died in 1963. His name was A.W. Tozer. When he was about to die and write his last book, he said this, the coming of the Lord Jesus is drawing near. So I personally try to do all of my spiritual work, including my preaching or my singing, strictly with that in mind. There's so many things to say about the Bible. But unless the context is set right, we're just adding knowledge to knowledge. Ultimately, the most important thing as we gather this Sunday morning is Jesus is coming back. I bet you, brethren, and we have said it several times, that there are better places we could be, if not that there's an eternity to be. Actually, the hours on Sunday morning that we spend in church will be a chronic waste of time if Jesus wasn't coming back. It makes no sense to spend all of these hours. There are many important things in our lives as we sit down this morning, but Jesus is coming back. The reason I personally am a Christian is not because I want to make it in life. I think we've said it several times from this pulpit that the people who made it most in life are not even Christians. The best connections are in the country clubs, not in church. It's not because I want to have children. There are people who do not know the name of Jesus Christ, and they have them in the male and the female and in multiples. I'm not going to mention you, Brother Peter. Are you equal in number? Well, you are the latest now. Ultimately, I remind myself, and you must remind yourself, that the reason you're a Christian is because one day the trump of the Lord will sound and nothing else will matter. How many children do I have? How much do I have in my bank account? How well are my kids doing? All of those things will no longer matter. So when I read this quote, I was really excited. You see, we do a lot of things in church. One thing we don't do enough of is reminding ourselves that Jesus is coming back. Matthew chapter 22. So I would like to say, to briefly talk this morning about something that Jesus said. And in 30 minutes we'll end it, then continue by the grace of God next week. I'm going to beg that please look beyond anything physical this morning. I want you to look at the dynamic words of Christ himself. He said, the heavens will pass, kingdoms and dominions will pass, princes and princes will pass, but the word from me will never pass. He said other things about his word. He said, I don't think that I'm going to judge you. The very words that I speak from my mouth will be the ones to judge you. These are not, every time I have a chance individually or to a body to speak, I'm reminded that of all the speeches given in life, the most important is the opportunity to stand up and declare the manifold wisdom of God. The words that nobody can improve on them, nobody can remove from them. I commend you, brothers and sisters, to the words of Christ. I think often we listen a lot to our preachers, but we do not listen enough to the shepherd. And Christ has a lot to say. If we Christians were to live strictly by the words spoken by Christ himself, I think our attitude to our work in Christ would be totally different. We read books. We do churches. But the word spoken by Christ himself, oftentimes, those words are ignored. I'd like us to focus on one briefly this morning. Matthew 22, 15 from 15. We'll break it down. The Lord has a message for all of us this morning. And you know, normally the words of Christ are very tacit. They are short. You know, Brother Wale, it all happens to all of us. I speak with one of my children, I'm speaking or counseling another, and I find myself trying to explain and break it down. You know, trying to be gentle. Are you being too hard? No. Christ speaks his words and he withdraws. Actually, when he wants to rub it in, he will finish with, he who has an ear, let him listen. We don't like that. We don't like He who has an ear, let him listen. That does not square with the image of Jesus that we have. The image of Jesus we have is the shepherd with the lamb and just tending it and explaining, no, do you have a, let me groom this, let me. But that's not the scripture. That's not the Lord we see in the Bible. Jesus of the Bible is one who trusts, who does not merely want to carry the lamb, but wants to put the lamb down so that the lamb can walk and the lamb can represent him and the lamb can grow. So he gives to us responsibilities that are spiritual. One day he was so aggrieved. He said, Paul said this. He said, I have fed you milk and not the bread. He said, let's move on from these things. Let's move on to things of maturity. Do not let's keep laying again the foundations of the faith, the preaching of faith, the teaching of baptisms and repentance from dead works. Because the Lamb has an expectation of us. May the Lord help us to mature. Brother, let's listen to this discourse. Then the verse 15, chapter 22. Brother Peter, please do me a favor. 5 more minutes, let me know, to 30 minutes. It's not going to be long, so please listen. The Pharisees went and, from verse 15, 22, Matthew. So the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle Christ in his talk. He was different. He wasn't the regular teacher. He wasn't the regular spiritual leader. He wasn't preaching prosperity. He wasn't cuddling people in his hands. He was gentle with the meek and the weak. He was fierce to the proud. He had nothing to do with the religious leaders. So they wanted to entangle him in his talk. They could not entangle him in his character. There was no flaw found in him. So they decided, this carpenter boy, we should be able to entangle him in his own message. We know what we will do. They went to him, they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians. You know the Herodians? Herodians. You know, the followers of Herod, the bureaucrats. Those who believe in the institution of the king. Because they had a Herodianian question to ask. And then they toasted him. Listen to this. Brothers and sisters, beware. Because they will entangle you in your talk. They know you very well. They will come as your friends. Listen to this. Teacher, we know that you are true. You teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone. For you do not regard the person of men. Was this true or not? Everyone, each one of those statements, accurate. Very true. This is not the subject of the sermon, but I want you to know those characters of Christ. He is true in his teachings. He teaches not his own ways, but the ways of God. And he teaches it in truth. And Christ does not respect the person of any man. He had a superior ministry to earthly ministries. He did not show preferential treatments to rich or poor. strong or weak. He had the same message to everybody. They observed this. If he had been a hypocrite, they would have entangled him with his character. They could not find that. If he had collected a bribe, they could have entangled him with that, but they could not find a bribe in Christ. Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not to pay taxes to Caesar? I mean, how do you answer that question? These were Herodians. It's a catch 22. Say yes, and then the whole nation hates you. He's for the rich. He believes in paying taxes. Say no, then Herod gets your neck. Now, many of us, I could imagine if most of us today were asked that question, Peter would delve into the advantages of taxes and all the tax laws and all of that. As ministers, wisdom is required in these things. You must use wisdom. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites?" "Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. Whose image is on it? Caesar's. "Show me a dollar." Does anybody have a dollar? Whose image is on it? $20. $50. I got you. Give to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render to God that which is God's. Today, I just want to talk briefly about render to Caesar what is Caesar's and render to God what is God's. You see, the Pharisees had always heard how Christ preached about the kingdom of God. They wanted to prove that the kingdom of God was impracticable. They heard him talk about a superior kingdom. So they decided to test him with that, to bring a political, a social question to him. But he would not budge. They did not understand spiritual themes. Every time Christ talked about a kingdom, they thought about the earth. Every time Jesus talks about prosperity, we think about houses and homes and cars. Every time Christ talks about peace, we think about a lack of terrorism. Please, let's remember the victims of the families of the victims. Let us remember to pray. There's an ugly spirit in the air, a spirit that challenges the very tenet of Christianity. Let's pray for the church that we will arise. The moment the church stopped rendering to Caesar that which is Caesar's, the moment we started mixing the world with the church, we started having problems. Christ said, "Render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar." Jesus is continually talking about issues of eternal life, issues of everlasting peace, but continually we reinterpret his word in our own language and based on our immediate needs. The Lord said to those people, "You hypocrites, look at anything that is in your hands this morning. What is the biggest matter in your heart? As you stand before Christ this morning, whose image is on it? What is your biggest aspiration? As you headed out to church this morning, what was chief? May the Lord answer the plight of our hearts. May He cause us to prosper, and may He give us peace in all things. We need the peace and the help of Christ in all things. But Peter pointed out to us the life of Hezekiah. Inside and outside, besieged by problems. And he remembered the Lord in this. What keeps you up at night? Is it life? Last week, Brother Bumi told us about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, that the Lord may give us the strength, the insight, the faith, the power of those three. Oh, King, the Lord our God is able to deliver us. But even if He does not deliver us, guess what? We still will not bow. Render to the earth. Some people have spirituality ebbs and flows with how we're feeling in the flesh. When we're happy, we're spiritual. When we're unhappy, we're not. Whereas most people in the Bible who followed God, followed Him through thick and through thin. They rendered to Caesar. In the 13th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul said, I remember he said, render to Caesar, which means don't be careless about the things that you should take care of. Render to Caesar. In 13th chapter, he said, give tribute. I think verse 6. He said, give tribute to whom tribute is due. Respect and custom to whom respect is due. We are subjects as Christians to render to Caesar that which belongs to Caesar. Spirituality does not excuse us from obeying laws and authorities, from recognizing, from honoring those whom the Lord has put in those positions to be honored. But many times we do it at the expense of God. When we refuse to pray, are we rendering to God that which belongs to God? When our worship is restricted to Sunday services, are we rendering to God that which belongs to God? It says, watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. It says, love not the world or the things of this world. If any man loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. When all of our efforts about the things of this world, things with Caesar's picture on them, are we rendering to God that which belongs to God? When our trust is in ourselves and our abilities, are we rendering to God that which belongs to God? If you have gone a long time and you have not shed a single care about the million of perishing people who are going to hell all around us, are we rendering to Christ that which is Christ? We can spend 4 hours in front of the TV, in front of a movie, and you cannot spend an hour in prayer. Are we rendering to Christ that which is Christ? The coming of the Lord is drawing near. So I try to do all my preaching with this in mind. When the Lord Jesus Christ walked the streets of Jerusalem, when he was born to a nation where there were crippled people, there were poor people, there were widows. There was a lot of problems in Jerusalem when Jesus was born. There was political turmoil. Everything we're familiar with today, Christ was born into it, Auntie Vicky. There were a lot of things and a lot of problems that Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, could have solved. He could have chosen to come as a great scientist. He could have chosen to come as the heir to the throne of Herod. He could do whatever he wanted. It was within his power. When he went to the pool of Bethesda, there were many maimed people. Have you ever asked yourself why he healed only one of them? Let me ask you, Mommy, if you had the power of Jesus and you go to a pool and you see people who have been lying there for 40 years, will you heal only one of them? No, let's say God gave you the power.
Yes.
He said, anybody you want to heal in this town, you can heal. Mommy, you saw that dream, and he said, behold my daughter, as you are going to the pool tomorrow. Any sick person that you choose, because Jesus had that power, heal. And then you go to the hospital, Holy Cross. Where Sister Folake works. Say, my daughter, how are you? Take me to the ER. And in the ER, you see people with broken leg, with blindness, with this. And God told you have the power to heal anybody. Will you heal only one? You will heal only one, Mommy. Why?
Because God told me to go and heal. He gave me power to heal somebody.
But supposing God gave you power to heal everybody. Yes, supposing, let's imagine hypothetically, Mommy, that God gave you power and you can heal anybody you want. Will you not heal everybody you meet? You will, Mommy. You just want to defend Jesus. You will. If you didn't, people will call you wicked. What's your own now? Did I ask you a question? You see, that's how they, you see how he's talking to Mommy now. Peter, take your time. Oh. Does it make sense? Can anybody explain to me, Sister Lande, why would Jesus heal just one? What was the message? Everything in the Bible has a reason. There's a message behind the message in scriptures. We teach these things on the surface. Why? Sister Lande, why? Have you ever thought about it? Tell me, Sister Lande, you will heal more than one. Just in compassion. Does it make sense? It makes sense to heal one?
God does as he
pleases. No. I know that. I'm saying hypothetically, we have to know why the Lord did that, right? But if you had the power, you have to ask. People were wondering in the time of Jesus that we are under the bondage of the Romans. You call yourself the Son of God. People are oppressing us. Why? If you have the power of God and you are the Son of God and you are Jewish, why are you going to leave us under this captivity? It makes sense. Have you ever asked why? It doesn't make sense. What was the message that Christ was teaching us? He was teaching us that he had a higher purpose. There were many hungry people in Palestine. He fed 6,000. The Lord could... I bet you the gospel will spread faster if the Lord declared a feast every day. We are trying to do evangelism. Bring food into this place. But the way and the things that Christ wanted were never going to be achieved by giving food. They were going to be achieved by faith and receiving the word of God in meekness. That way is open to those who are free and those who are slaves. People wonder, when Paul was writing regarding slavery, why did he never abolish slavery? How come in the Bible you could never see an outright abolition of some of these outright evils? He was telling a slave to go back to Philemon, to go back to his master. Why? What's the consistently in scriptures? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is this a little complex? Brethren, as we close, the Bible says, with all your getting, get wisdom. Many times, we're so focused on the physical, we're losing touch with with what Christ really came for. We rejoice when we're physically fine. We sorrow only when we have problems. But the problem of sin, the problem of salvation, the problem of eternal life, the problem of maturing in Christ, the things that God wants to hear from us every morning, he is not hearing them. Oh, bless the Lord. Solomon said, give me wisdom, oh Lord, that I may lead these great people of yours. The Lord said, mine. You did not ask me for long life. You did not ask me for the life of your enemies. You did not ask me for money. Because you were not focused on these things, I will give you this and I will give you the other one as well. What is Jesus teaching us? We are so many times preoccupied with the affairs of Caesar that the affairs of eternal life will leave unattended. We run from pillar to post and we leave the Lord at the altar. It says, love one another. The best things in life are free. How much does compassion cost? Judgment, justice. Many of the lack of peace in our lives, if we trace the history, we caused it with our own hands. When we desire the things we shouldn't, how much does it take to be happy? The Bible says some people think that gain is godliness, and they do not know that godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we will take nothing with us. This is what the church is about. We acknowledge Caesar, but we render to God that which is God's. Brethren, are you rendering to God? Are you troubled for your soul this morning? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of such a kingdom, and every other thing will be added to you. Let me ask you, be sincere with yourself. What troubles your soul? There have been times when I've had issues in my life and I was praying and praying about. Then after a while, I just go, 5 more minutes. Thank you. Correct, Peter. And I'll go, oh Lord, even if I have, you give me this thing that I'm asking for. Oh, that I may see your face. Moses said, I'm tired of hearing your voice. Show me your face. Are you like that? Some of us, once we get one revelation, we're happy. We're so happy. Oh, I have a prophecy. Some people are saying, yes, I've been hearing, receiving your prophecy, Lord, but I want to see your face. Some of us, once they praise us, we're happy. But the wise woman will say, the Bible said they came to Jesus and they were praising him. But he said he did not take it to heart because he knew the praises of men were vain. The people that praise you today, they will blame you tomorrow. It's not you they are praising, it's what you are wearing and who you are. Ayeni e mommy abi. Shebaye shiriko ya. Baye shirin ya. Sister Vicky, it means that is how life is. How do you say it in Igbo? I tell you, Otu Akandude. Let us pray. This is your church. We want many things, Lord. But Father, break our hearts. Please, Lord. Please, Lord. It's only those that you really, really love, whether they are rich or poor. It is those that you really, really love that you humble and you give them the gift of your word and an open eyes that they may be blessed. Father, help us not to be satisfied with candy. Please break our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.